Well, in Washington, Republican leaders are trying one last time to repeal the Affordable Care Act. A quiet effort to find a replacement has been gaining steam, and leaders are hoping to bring a bill known as Graham-Cassidy to a vote next week. But opposition is also growing. The American Medical Association, the AARP, and other groups have come out against it, and at least 12 governors, including some Republicans, say they're opposed. Joining us now is Julie Rovner, chief Washington correspondent for Kaiser Health News. Hi, Julie.
Hey, Jeremy.
And let's talk about the timing of this, first of all, because it looked like the effort to repeal and replace Obamacare had died back in July when that repeal bill fell one vote short in that dramatic late night vote. Why is the Senate attempting to revive this issue right now?
Well, that's right. And the reason we all thought it had died is because Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said it was dead. But he actually didn't. They didn't conclude work on that bill. He pulled it. So he always knew there was a chance it could come back. And what he said was, if we can find 50 votes for something, which is all that they all Republicans need to pass under these special budget provisions, that he would bring it back. Well, he's finding out that this bill is nearing. It is not there yet, but it is nearing 50 votes. And they have until September 30th to do this. That's when the fiscal year ends, and that's when their ability to do this with a bare majority, 50 votes plus the vice president, ends. So basically they have until the end of next week.
After that, they would need 60 votes to do something.
Or they would have to do a new budget resolution that would allow them to do it again. But yes, after that, they would need 60 votes.
So let's talk about what the Graham-Cassidy bill would actually do. How is it different than the earlier Obamacare repeal efforts?
Well, in many ways, it's a bigger change from the status quo than some of the other proposals that Republicans have been talking about earlier in the year. It basically takes all of the money that the Affordable Care Act gave in premium subsidies and in the Medicaid expansion and in help for people with their out-of-pocket costs, and it bundles them into a big pot of money, and it redistributes it among the states. But it doesn't give the states what they get now. It would basically try to make up for the fact that 20 states didn't expand Medicaid. So it would give those states more, and it would give the states that did expand Medicaid less. So it would be a very big sort of redistribution of a whole lot of money. States could do with almost anything they want. They would be allowed to waive lots of the current Affordable Care Act requirements if they wanted to for insurance.
What would the bill mean for people with pre-existing conditions? Because that's gotten a lot of attention on social media from people who are opposed to it.
Yes, it has. And basically what it says is that the underlying law, because they can't repeal that through the budget process they're using, would remain. But states could, in fact, waive those requirements that people with pre-existing conditions not be charged more. The insurers would still have to cover them. And their sponsors are going around saying, well, nothing would change because states would still have to say how they were going to protect people with pre-existing conditions. But it doesn't really define that. So a lot of analysts have pointed out that, you know, states could set up a high risk pool that would only have 500 or 1,000 people in it, and everybody else would be on their own. So it basically would allow for people with pre-existing conditions to be discriminated against once again, as they were before the Affordable Care Act passed in 2010.
What would it mean for people who are currently on Medicaid?
That's not clear. It would take the funding for the expansion and put it into this pot of money. States could try to maintain both the expanded Medicaid and their underlying Medicaid populations, but they will be getting less money, substantially less money. We haven't seen anything from the Congressional Budget Office yet, but judging from how this is like other bills, we've seen estimates that this would take $215 billion out of the healthcare system between the years 2020 and 2021. That it would cut federal funding for healthcare by $4 trillion over the next two decades. So states would definitely have much less money to work with. Whether they can make that all up in efficiency seems unlikely.
And the headline number every time we've seen the reports from the Congressional Budget Office is how many people would lose their health coverage because of whatever bill we're talking about. But as you said, we haven't heard from the CBO on this one. Do we have any sense of how many people would lose coverage?
Well, there was an estimate out this morning from the Commonwealth Fund that said it would be 32 million people. That would be after 2026. I should point out that these block grants only last for 6 years and then they go away. The CBO said that they would come out with a preliminary score next week. They need something in order to go to the floor just to find out whether it conforms to the budget requirements. But they said they probably wouldn't be able to do an analysis of how many people would lose coverage by then. They would need significantly more time to do that. And as we mentioned at the top, they don't have any more time.
So there were three Republicans who voted against the last repeal effort. John McCain of Arizona, Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, and Susan Collins of Maine. Have they given any indication how they might vote on this bill?
No, the only person who says that they are a no is Rand Paul of Kentucky, who says that he's been calling it Obamacare amnesty. Susan Collins certainly seems to be leaning that way, but she hasn't said yet. So the two people who are being watched most closely are John McCain and Lisa Murkowski of Alaska. Those two both voted no to basically end the debate back in July. They are both playing their cards very close to the vest.
And even if this passes, it would still have to get through the House.
It would, but because of the way the budget process works, the House would have to pass it unchanged. It would be literally a take it or leave it proposition for the House.
That's Julie Rovner, chief Washington correspondent for Kaiser Health News, on the Graham Cassidy bill making its way through the Senate right now. Julie, thanks so much.
You're so welcome.